Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Dr. Ralph Harlow, a scholar whose educational background has included both Harvard and Columbia, relates an unusual and strange phenomena, that of witnessing angelic beings, such as no doubt appeared in a heavenly host that first Christmas day. Walking through the woods in early spring with his wife Marion, from behind they could hear voices. Turning to his wife, Dr. Harlow said, "We have company in the woods this morning." The voices came nearer, although they saw nothing until looking up, what they saw was incredible. For about 10 feet over their heads there came a floating group of glorious, beautiful creatures that glowed with spiritual beauty. There were 6 of them, young, beautiful women dressed in flowing white garments, still engaged in conversation. Their faces were perfectly clear, and one who appeared slightly older than the rest was especially beautiful. Her dark hair was pulled back in something of a ponytail, and she talked intently to the others, seemingly unaware of our presence. Although their voices were clearly heard, the words were not. They seemed to float past so gracefully, and as gentle and peaceful as morning itself. Says Dr. Harlow, "I've never been subject to hallucinations. Attorneys have solicited my testimony, and I have testified in courts, regarded by judges and jury as a faithful, reliable witness." He goes on to relate how he was once skeptical about the accuracy of the details of the birth of Christ, thinking the story of angels to be merely legend or fantasy. But now he knew angels were real. To be sure he had seen and heard correctly, he had asked his wife to relate what she had seen and heard, and her reply was identical in every respect, so that he knew what he had seen was real. Well, this account related in guideposts should certainly make all of us more aware of the reality of angelic beings and their presence with us today. Angels have played a prominent role in the life of our Savior. Even before his birth, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to say that she was designated to be the one, the mother of Messiah. On 3 separate occasions, an angel appeared unto Joseph, not in person as in the case of Mary, but each time in a dream. The first angelic appearance was to confirm Mary's announcement that she would give birth to the Savior, and that he was not to put her away, for that which is conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. And furthermore, his name should be called Jesus, for he should save his people from their sins. The second appearance to Joseph of the angel was to tell him to flee into Egypt, for soon after Jesus was born, Herod sought the child's life. Then finally, at the death of Herod, an angel of the Lord again appeared in a dream, and Joseph was told to return back to Nazareth. Throughout our Lord's life, angels appeared during his temptation to strengthen and to comfort him. In the garden where he sweat drops of blood. Following our Lord's resurrection, the angel of the Lord rolled back the stone and sat upon it, his countenance as the lightning, his raiment glistening as shining snow. Angels appeared at his ascension, who said, "This same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." At our Lord's betrayal, we see the mob led by Judas Iscariot coming with swords and with staves. And as he willingly turned himself over to them, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" How many angels comprise a legion might be determined from the custom of that day, which founded the Roman army, for example, a legion containing 6,200 men. Thus, 12 legion of men would be around 84,000 men. Are there that many angels, you might inquire? John in the book of Revelation hears the voices of angels surrounding the throne of God, and he declares the number of them to be 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Well, why so many? For the Bible would indicate that each of us has a guardian angel. These angels are for the purpose of keeping watch over the saints and ministering to those who are the heirs of salvation, Hebrews 1:14. Heaven will no doubt reveal the marvelous manifestation of angels, such as those which ministered in the Bible. An angel of the Lord appeared to Daniel to shut the lion's mouth, and to Elijah to cook him a meal, to feed him on food that gave him strength supernaturally for 40 days. An angel appeared on several occasions during the time of Abraham, later to Joshua and to Gideon and to others. Well, the scriptures are filled with such angelic visitations. And does not the psalmist say, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them"? An angel delivered Peter from prison and stood by the apostle Paul. Your guardian angel may be with you there in your room, or he may be in heaven where he has immediate access to the throne of God. With television, we can capture the magical pictures that form electronically in the atmosphere. But no camera yet has been devised to show these marvelous angelic beings that inhabit space and eternity. Jesus said of little children that their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In many homes there still hangs a celebrated picture of two small children watched over by their guardian angel who hovers near, who guides through life's storms. The angel's greatest joy is to see a sinner saved. Music fills heaven with anthems of praise when a soul discovers salvation in all of its glorious dimension. A person who truly turns from his sin, repents of wrongdoing, and surrenders to the Savior is real reason for rejoicing. As Jesus said, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. C.M. Ward several years ago related the story of a missionary couple who were living at the time in Switzerland and who were in dire need. With not a cent in the house, the wife went to the Lord in simple prayer, saying, "Jesus, I need 5 pounds of potatoes, 2 pounds of pastry flour, apples, pears, a cauliflower, carrots, veal cutlet for Saturday, and beef for Sunday." When she finished listing her requests, she said, "Thank you, Jesus," and went about her work. About that morning at 11:30, a knock of the apartment door was answered by the wife, who saw a man standing there with a basketful of provisions, who said, "I'm bringing you what you ask for." Now, he was dressed like a groceryman with his long blue apron over his work clothes. Thinking there was some mistake, the wife said she hadn't ordered anything, and then she called her husband. The husband tried to explain that there were some 25 apartments and surely there must have been a mistake, only to be interrupted by the voice sweetly saying, "I brought you what you asked for." Well, taking the groceries, they discovered the exact list of foodstuffs the wife had ordered in prayer that morning, even to the brand of pastry flour, in the amount she had requested. The missionary says, "I stood by the window to see him leave the building, but though I watched and my wife checked the hallways, there was no trace of him anywhere." Do you believe in angels? In Hebrews we're told, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." One of the most incredible stories of recent times, as related by Paul Harvey, newscaster for the ABC Network, is supposed to have taken place during a United Nations conference at Lake Success. Among those present at this committee meeting were Mr. Dulles and Mr. Austin representing the United States, Vyshinsky of the Soviet Union, and Jeb of the United Kingdom. No photographers and only the recording secretaries were permitted to occupy a glassed-in translation loft. The meeting had barely been called to order by the chairman, Sir Bengal Rao, when to their consternation and amazement, a stranger stood in their midst. He was a tall, lean man, clothed in the attire of the East, not uncommon at Lake Success, with sandals and beard, the beard well groomed, his lips parted. And then the stranger spoke, "I have many things to say and to judge of you." Mr. Rao, the presiding chairman, interrupted to ask, "Why are you here, sir?" The soft, compelling voice, without the benefit of microphone, replied, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. With their tongue they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, and the way of peace have they not known." The Russian representative at first demanded to question the witness, but when the translation of the stranger's remarks came through, stern and unsmiling, he declared, "The Soviet delegation will not listen to the ravings of this warmonger." Looking squarely at the Soviet delegate, the strange figure spoke more sharply to say, "The day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee on every side and shall utterly destroy thee." Mr. Austin, representing the United States, waving a small flag which marked his place, was given recognition, and he spoke as follows. "In the United States," he said, "we are hosts to enemies within our own house, agents of another government who plead mercy, saying that they are loyal to our government as well." Raising his hand as if to end the question, the stranger replied, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." "But," protested Mr. Austin of the United States, "these among us say they intend only to alter our government by peaceful means, to better our economic system, to..." And again there was an interruption. The speaker turned to the United States delegates, to Austin and to Dulles, to say, "There is none righteous among you, no, not one. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Well, Mr. Rao, the chairman, arose, turning to the stranger, said, "We came here to place the blame for our unrest, and you have given each of us our share. But what should we do, abandon our efforts to seek peace?" The reply was this: "Be sober, be vigilant, depart from evil and do good. Execute ye judgment and righteousness. Deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor. It is impossible but that offenses come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Seek peace and pursue it." "But you make this all sound so simple," said Chairman Rao, to which the reply came, "Many righteous men have desired to hear these things which ye hear and have not heard them." Well, Sir Ben Gorau then stated, "It is not customary for us to hear wisdom outside our churches. We are inclined, I fear, to feel that all the wisdom of the world is assembled here." Well, the strange guest did not smile, but only replied, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for hereby some have entertained angels unawares." Well, following this, the meeting was adjourned as the chairman spoke quietly yet solemnly, and turning to the unannounced visitor, he said, "And you, sir, thank you. If you could write these things in a book, that men of all ages might read them." The eyes of the stranger flashed as though in anger, indicating his words were already recorded, written in a book. Then the anger faded as the tall figure turned and left the assembly room, leaving all behind in wonderment. "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.